This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You're back on the evening edition with Caroline and Ezra. And this evening, we will be talking about Malaysian driving behaviours. Malaysia is ranked one of Southeast Asia's worst when it comes to road safety. Estimates have put losses from road traffic accidents at an estimated 1.6% of the national GDP.
That's right. According to the World Health Organization 2013 Global Statistics Report on Road Safety, Malaysia suffered 25 accident-related deaths per 100,000 of the population in 2010. That's compared with 3.6 deaths per 100,000 in Britain.
So why is it that Malaysian drivers are so unsafe? What makes us different, more dangerous than other drivers in Southeast Asia? Here to hopefully answer this and other questions is Dr. Elizabeth Shepherd and Lim Pui Cheng from the University of Nottingham Malaysia campus. Welcome.
Welcome. Good evening.
So tell us about the study. I think we first came across the study quite recently in a news report, and a lot of news headlines were being made from this particular report. What made you decide to research on safety in regards to Malaysian drivers?
Well, I'm from the UK, and when I first moved to Malaysia about 4 years ago, I realised very quickly that you can't really get on here unless you drive a car. So I duly got myself a car and started driving. And I found that even though apparently the rules are very, very similar between UK and Malaysia.
In theory.
I found it actually very, very difficult to drive here when I first started. And I felt that a lot of the difference was because of differences in the way people behave when they're driving. So having previously done some research on driving in the UK, I thought it would be very interesting to extend that and look at driver behaviour here in Malaysia.
Okay, that's good. So it's not shock and horror then.
No, it wasn't. Right. And of course, you know, when it came to this study, you mentioned about similarities, I guess, you know, between Malaysia and the UK. We both drive on the left-hand side of the road, on the right-hand side of the car. Any other similarities? I mean, I guess you were talking about regulation, right?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, like most of the regulations in terms of how you're supposed to deal with junctions and deal with roundabouts and things like this are pretty much the same for the two countries.
In theory,
mm-hmm. Yes. But it's quite interesting that even within those rules, the way that people actually respond to those rules and tackle the driving is quite different.
Okay, so let's take a look at the study. When exactly did the study start? And perhaps you can walk us through the testing process.
Okay, so the study started about two years ago. And the first step in that process was to actually get some video footage from the UK and Malaysia. So we started off by filming videos both in the UK and on Malaysian roads. Mm-hmm. And then we did a little bit of editing, basically you just like edited specific hazards that occurred from that footage. Then the actual testing started about March or so of in 2012, and right. We tested people in Malaysia and the UK, and that took about two months in total.
Okay, so when you say tested, what exactly did you do?
After we'd filmed these videos, we had a set of videos that were filmed on Malaysian roads and on UK roads, and we took both Malaysian and UK drivers, and we showed them these videos and we of hazards that were filmed, and we asked them, as soon as you see a hazard developing, just click the mouse. That was pretty much the whole process, and we're interested mainly in how quickly people reacted to the hazards, how long it took them to press the mouse after they saw the hazard, and the accuracy, so whether they did react to the hazard at all or whether they were just too slow.
Right. So it actually allowed you to analyze a little bit. How many people did you study? How big was it?
We tested about 100 people in total, so that's from both Malaysia and the UK, and we looked at both novice and experienced drivers. So we had 100 people, and they were divided into four roughly equal groups. So we had Malaysian novice drivers who'd been driving for less than a year, UK novice drivers been driving for less than a year, and experienced drivers from Malaysia been driving for roughly about 4 years, and experienced drivers from the UK who'd also been driving for roughly the same amount of time.
Now, I'm reading this report, and the term hazard perception appears quite a lot. How does one define a hazard? I mean, is it anything from road signs to, two lanes turning to one lane? How would you describe that?
Well, actually, the majority of hazards are caused by other road users. So you might think of hazards as being things like a cow in the road or something like this. But
right.
Actually, these kind of hazards are very rare. And most hazards are caused by other road users doing something that's unexpected. or at least something that is potentially slightly dangerous. So we define hazards as being something that happens during the course of normal driving that would make you have to take some kind of action to maintain safe driving. So usually something you would either have to slow down for or something that you have to make a steering response to.
So a simple example would be if littering takes place a lot amongst Malaysian drivers, they're throwing out a bottle outside the window, and it's how the difference between how Malaysian and UK drivers would respond to that?
Yeah, I guess the most common hazards that we see in Malaysia and the UK actually are people cutting into your lane whilst you're driving, people pulling out of junctions where there isn't really enough space, pedestrians stepping into the road, motorcyclists cutting in front of people, things like this. So they're things that happen during relatively frequently during normal driving, or at least in Malaysia they do.
I guess you know, all these hazards are described as the regular Malaysian driving experience.
Yeah, everyday experience.
Indeed. We will be back with Dr. Elizabeth Shepherd and Lim Poo Cheng, both from the University of Nottingham Malaysia campus, to talk about Malaysian driving behaviour. We have the Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin coming up right after this on BFM 89.9. Good evening. This is the Evening Edition with Caroline and Ezra, and we are speaking to Dr. Elizabeth Shepherd and Lim Poo Cheng from the University of Nottingham Malaysia campus to talk about Malaysian driving behaviours. And this is based on a study that has been done by our two guests. And of course, we're going through, I guess, a little bit more about through the methodology of how this took place. Now, it's stated in the research paper that hazard perception tests are used in several developed countries as part of the driving license curriculum. What exactly are they and how do they work?
Okay, well, hazard perception tests that are used as part of driver licensing in other countries, they're conducted pretty much as our own study conducted. So it involves watching video clips and responding when you see hazards developing. Mm. Now, they're used in other countries as a prerequisite for being able to take the on-road driving test. So, for example, in the UK, you have to go to a test centre and complete one of these tests and score over a certain level within the test before you're even allowed to take your on-road practical test.
So it can actually determine whether or not you're allowed to do it?
Yes, exactly. Mm. You can't even go on to try and get your driving license until you have fulfilled this.
Right. Is it like a video game? That's what I'm imagining. It's a little bit.
It is, and it's a very, very simple thing to do. As I said, all you really need is a computer, and you just watch some videos and click a mouse. But the reason why it's used is because performance in this test has been found to relate to actual accident rate. People who do well on this test are less likely to be involved in accidents.
Now, how familiar did you need to be with the Malaysian driver's license curriculum to, I guess, have some context as to why Malaysian drivers drive the way they do?
Well, I have to say that I'm not very familiar with the Malaysian driving curriculum myself because I didn't obtain my license here. However, I was aware that hazard perception testing is not used here as part of driver licensing at the moment.
And do we have any inclination as to why it's not used? I guess it's used in other countries, but not necessarily Malaysia. And I guess there are disadvantages to that?
Well, I guess up until now, the research just hasn't been done. So one of the aims of our research was to explore whether this test is likely to work in this context. And it's quite notable that the other countries where this test is used are countries that generally have quite a low accident rate and quite a good road safety record already. So it was an important question whether this methodology could be used here.
I'm wondering what stops a country from putting it in place if it's something as simple as that.
Mm, and perhaps, clearly as important as that. And of course, there are, when you assess the subject's visual strategies while they were driving, this is part of the test. And what does that mean, visual strategies? How important is it when driving?
So when I talked about the testing process earlier, when people watch the hazard videos, they actually watch these videos on an eye tracker. So we basically were able to look at where they were looking when they're watching the videos. And there are a few different reasons we did that. So one of them is that in previous research done in the UK, we found that experienced drivers and novice drivers have different strategies. So for instance, experienced drivers are much more flexible when they're in dangerous situations. They realize that and they look around a lot more. And novice drivers don't do that. So which implies that as you gain more driving experience, you know, you tend to change the way you look around the environment. And another reason we wanted to do that though was to also see if there's a difference between Malaysian drivers and UK drivers. So, you know, like, are people just looking at hazards differently, like in different countries?
Or are they just looking at their phones while they are driving?
Right.
I suppose there is a little bit of that. Was there anything you were expecting to find, and whether or not these findings differed from your hypothesis?
Well, so there were three main things that we wanted to look at. The first was a difference between Malaysian and UK drivers. So, you know, so for instance, I mentioned one thing we really want to look at is reaction time, how quickly people react to hazards. So we wanted to see, so, you know, there were two ways this could have gone. We wanted to see first whether, you know, Malaysian drivers could have been a lot faster than UK drivers because the driving environment is more hazardous here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible that because you're so used to that, they could be much quicker at reacting to hazards.
Mm-hmm. Or just desensitized.
Exactly. So on the other hand, they could also have been a lot slower.
Yes.
So, you know, so we were pretty sure that there would be a difference. We just weren't sure which way that would go.
Right.
So that's Malaysian UK drivers. Then another thing we wanted to look at was looking at, you know, kind of the interaction between when people watch hazards in their home country. So when Malaysian drivers are watching, you know, Malaysian clips, are they quicker to react to hazards in Malaysia as opposed to when they're watching videos filmed in the UK?
Right.
And same for UK drivers. You know, would UK drivers be faster and more accurate when they're watching UK hazards as opposed to when they're watching Malaysian hazards?
What were the findings?
So what we found was, you know, that Malaysian drivers do appear to be desensitized, as in, well, you know, they're much slower to react to hazards.
Mm-hmm.
They also don't identify hazards as often. So it does seem that they are being desensitized. And another thing we found though was that people do seem to identify more hazards in their own country. So as I said, when, you know, if you're watching a clip filmed in your home country, you are more likely to say, okay, you know, that's a hazard than if you're watching it one in a country that's different to
right.
your home one.
So maybe familiarity with the locality and so on.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, this goes down to what we've mentioned already quite a few times as to what constitutes a hazard. And I guess people have different ideas. I mean, what other findings did you find with regards to Malaysian drivers in comparison to the UK drivers?
Well, it's exactly that, really, that people do have a different idea of what constitutes a hazard, or primarily that Malaysian drivers don't think that things are hazardous that UK drivers do. So it seems like they have a sort of shift in criterion in terms of how dangerous something has to be before they are willing
to
say.
A car needs to come, you know, on the same side of the road before Malaysians go, maybe I'll put over a signal. I mean, is it to that extent?
To what degree
are we talking about, though?
Well, the accuracy rate was still fairly good for Malaysian drivers, but they are responding later. So the hazard has to be more developed or more pronounced before they're responding. And for some of the events that UK drivers thought were hazards, Malaysian drivers were disinclined to say that they were hazardous.
Ooh.
In your study, what variables were at play when considering some of the results from these tests?
Well, the main thing, I mean, so aside from looking at where the drivers came from, Malaysian drivers and UK drivers, we also wanted to look at experience. So we mentioned before that drivers are more experienced tend to be like perform better on these tests. So they are quicker to react, and they react to more hazards. So that was another thing that we wanted to look at in this study. And what we actually found was that there was no difference between experienced and novice drivers in the study, which just contradict previous results. And so this could be because maybe our experienced drivers weren't experienced enough; they hadn't been driving for enough time for it to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also be that because Malaysian drivers were so reluctant to respond to hazards, this could have masked any difference we might have otherwise found, like between experienced and novice drivers.
Well, I mean, we will get back to this study right after this. We have some more music lined up by David Bowie right here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. Good evening, I'm Ezra Zayed.
Good evening, I'm Caroline Oh.
And we're speaking about Malaysia driving behaviours. Our two guests, Dr. Elizabeth Shepherd, as well as Lim Pui Ching from the University of Nottingham Malaysia campus, they conducted a study called The Cross-Cultural Effects on Drivers' Hazard Perception. And we've been speaking a lot about, I guess, the findings from this particular study. We've been comparing a lot between the test samples of drivers from Malaysia and the UK. When you have, I guess, two examples, let's say the UK and Australia, and I know a lot of these cross-cultural studies haven't been done yet, but would you imagine that, you know, because the experiences or driving behaviours culturally and the road rules pretty much the same, what would you expect from that sort of comparison?
Well, as you say, the research hasn't been done, but the accident and fatality rates in the UK and Australia are fairly similar. So I would probably expect that the performance on this kind of test would also be much more similar in those two countries. And I wouldn't necessarily expect to see what we saw with the Malaysian drivers, which was this kind of desensitization to hazardous events. So I think that if we were to compare two developed countries with similar kind of driving environment, we would probably observe quite similar effects.
And as a result, we were speaking earlier about, I guess, simple and extreme examples of what would constitute a hazard. Can you give us some sort of your observations from some of the reactions from Malaysian drivers or the UK drivers?
So I think one good example, one of the clips that we used in Malaysia was basically a clip of a garbage truck and an empty trash bag fell off the back of this truck. So usually, because I did the testing, a lot of UK drivers, when they saw that happen, they would instantly react, you know, straight away. They wouldn't even think about it, just sort of immediately press the button to react.
How big is this plastic bag? I mean, I'm very curious now.
I mean, it's one of those bags that come up. There's like those big tubs, like so okay. For like a recycling bin bag. Yeah,
right.
So like reasonably big.
So it wouldn't be hazardous to you, Ezra, if it was say a waste paper bin
liner.
We'll
have to see what color it is. But moving along.
So like so a lot of UK drivers kind of would instantly react before they even saw exactly what it was. They would just see the movement. Whereas Malaysian drivers would often wait to see exactly what it was before reacting if they did at all. And one person actually said, "Well, you know, that's just an empty plastic bag. If it was a durian, then I would have said it was hazardous, but just an empty bag, you know, that's not hazardous at all."
Perhaps they're more perceptive than you imagine.
So I guess, you know, in that situation, you're in that testing room and Malaysian drivers are going, "So where's the hazard?"
Yes.
Is that essentially it?
Yeah, what happened a lot was that, you know, the video would finish and people would look at me and say, "Well, you know, if there was a hazard, I guess it would be that, but I don't think that was really dangerous."
It's almost like...
It's relative, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's almost like, you know, it's like a trick question that they're asking you, and they're like, where's the punchline?
Yes. Where is the durian?
Yeah, indeed. And so as a result, you know, what are your hopes and objectives from this particular report? I guess the hazard perception test is terribly important, but it's not necessarily being implemented here in Malaysia.
Yeah, well, I think that based on the results that we've observed, it would suggest that there might be some problems with introducing such a test in Malaysia. And the reason being that even though research in other parts of the world has shown that since introducing this kind of test, certain kinds of accident have been reduced in new drivers, we might find that the way that people in Malaysia respond in this test doesn't really tell us much about their actual driving ability, because they just don't think these events are hazardous. So what we're doing now is we're exploring other slightly different methods for looking at people's ability to perceive hazards here that don't involve them actually having to make a decision about whether or not a hazard has happened.
But can the hazard test then be adapted to suit the local environment, or is it already?
That's what we're trying to do at
so
the moment.
Replacing the garbage bag with a durian, for example.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or a raccoon just coming out of the car. Yeah. And so as a result, you know, of this particular study, do you think that, you know, these hazard tests, even though implemented, it'll be very difficult for Malaysian drivers? Can you actually resensitize Malaysian drivers?
It's possible. I mean, I think that... part of the reason why these tests have been effective in other countries is because it has changed the way that driving instructors teach people to drive. They know that the people they're teaching will have to do this test as part of their driving licensing procedure. And so they have to tutor them and teach them what hazards are. So when they're teaching these students to drive, rather than just focusing on how to control the vehicle, they'll also have to try and raise their awareness of hazards. So it may be that if driver tuition changes in that way, then people will start to see these things as being dangerous and be able to respond to these tests.
It sounds like a way of saying that we might need a little revamp of our driver's license curriculum.
You think?
And of course, moving forward, what are other studies that you might be looking into to complement what already has taken place?
Well, one of the things we're looking at now, as Lizzie mentioned, we're looking at tests where, you know, that aren't affected by whether you think something is a hazard or not. So one thing we're exploring now is actually looking at how well people can predict hazards. So, like, so for instance, in these, we cut the videos off in the middle and we ask them, what do you think happens next? So regardless of whether you think, you know, that the durian is dangerous or not, you know, you should still be able to predict that it's going to happen. Yeah, so that's another very promising kind of test that we're looking into.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us on discussing the research paper, Cross-Cultural Effects on Drivers' Hazard Perception. We have Dr. Elizabeth Shepherd, as well as Lim Pui Ching from the University of Nottingham Malaysia campus. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And we will be back right after this. We have more music lined up by Peter Bjorn and John on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.